Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back on our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage of day two. And we had a bunch of picks, a flurry of picks going on, guys. It was Ohio State defensive tackle Michael Hall Jr. going to the Cleveland Browns. After that, offensive tackle from Houston, Patrick Paul, going to Miami. Nice change of scenery there for him. Edge from Western Michigan, Marshawn Neyland, going to the Dallas Cowboys. That was followed by Tampa on the clock, getting an Alabama defensive end, Chris Braswell. And then just on the clock was the Green Bay Packers taking Javon Bullard, safety, out of Georgia. The Houston Texans on the clock, followed by the Buffalo Bills.
The Texans have just picked Blake Fisher. Now, when they both came out of high school, Blake Fisher was the guy, the five-star recruit. I think he was the second-rated offensive lineman in the country.
Him and all.
And think about it. He gets picked in round two, and also the fifth pick in the draft. Goes to show you there is some development there. But Blake Fisher was the guy. Everybody wanted him. He could have went anywhere in America.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you look at him. Him being a right tackle.
He's a right tackle.
Yeah, Larman Tunsil. At the left tackle down in Texas, and you look at the one thing that C.J. Stroud did a great job, and he and the O.C. did a great job of getting the ball out of his hands. But if you can solidify that offensive line, and, you know, I can't think of the kid's name, but he was a guard that played at Texas A&M.
Green.
He got hurt against us, against the Saints. And so he was another early pick that the Texans had made. And then the other one was the offensive lineman from the SWAC that started out as a tackle. And they moved inside. So the Houston Texans, they may not have had a lot of picks, but they've done a pretty good job of trying to get protection for C.J. Stroud, obviously, who is the quarterback now, and then the other weapons on the outside. Talk about the trade for Diggs, and you knew what Tank Dell was able to do. And, you know, they got a little good, nice little squad going on down there in Houston right
now.
One
of the things D'Amico brought up was we got to run the football better.
Right.
Because he felt as though the passing game got him through last year, and they had spurts of a running game. But, you know, he's from San Francisco, so you get that. He wants to run the ball.
My question to you becomes, because they did sign a back via free agency.
Right.
Do you think Pierce is available?
I think he is.
Yeah, he had a really down season here last year.
He was outstanding
as a rookie,
on a bad team. On a bad team.
And then last year, like, kind of disappeared last season.
Yeah.
He kind of got lost in the shuffle.
So would he be a guy, like, on tomorrow?
That may get dealt.
Yeah.
That may get dealt. And he was a good player at Florida, too.
He was a good player at Florida.
Really was.
They never really used him like they should have used him at Florida, because I remember, I guess it was a preseason game when we played against him, and it was just like boom, 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 and he's just making play after play after play, and but not so much last year.
No, you mentioned it. Houston fielding a nice squad. Just looking at this depth chart, quarterback C.J. Stroud, running back Joe Mixon, wide receivers Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and then tight end Dalton Schultz. That's really nice.
Well, and they've invested in an offensive line.
Right.
I mean, they've done a good
job. And they will continue to with that guy playing quarterback.
I agree with you as well.
Because you got something special there. You really do. And defensively, for them to go out and get Hunter, and they got Autry also, who was with the Titans. Now, he's a little bit up in age, but, man, D'Amico can play.
Well, D'Amico can play, but then you still have Will as well.
Yeah.
Will Anderson that can come off the edge. And so I don't need D'Amico to go out there and play 95% of the snaps. I've got a young buck over here that can spell you a little bit.
Pick 60. We're almost through the second round. The Buffalo Bills, Lions, Ravens, 49ers, and Chiefs. And then that will be it for round two at 8-11 here. So see what happens in the final few picks of round two, and then we'll start round three.
We're going to take a break for our news break here at the top of the hour. We're going to hear more from our breakdown of all the coverage. We got the Bills, Lions, Ravens, Niners, and Chiefs to wrap things up in this second round. Then we get into round two. Maybe the Saints make a move, hopefully. So we got something more to talk about the black and gold the rest of the night. We're going to be back with more of WWL's Draft Fest coverage, the TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage, right here at Hooters on Vets and Mattery. We'll be right back after this news break here on WWL.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller with Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, and Mike Dettillier. Coverage of our Saints and NFL Draft. Come join us at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Got food, wings, cold beer, and $5 margaritas, gentlemen.
I tell you, as we're watching the TV and I'm watching the drone fly over this crowd in Detroit, it is extraordinary. The Lions are on the clock. Barry Sanders is up there. Pick is in. But remember, this was really a snafu by the NFL that they couldn't get New York City for an event, and that's how it began in other cities, right? And it has become the 300,000 people in Detroit.
Per day.
It has become a three-day mega event for cities that are probably not going to get Super Bowls. Now, it's tough for us who get Super Bowls, but we ain't ever getting a draft. Just unless a whole lot of things change.
Well, you know what, though? Not so fast on that. Not so fast. And the only reason I say that, the commissioner, I don't know if it was in his report, his yearly report, but he did come out and talk about the 18 game.
That's right, yeah.
The 18 game.
The season, right.
And moving the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl would be on President's Weekend.
Right.
And the other thing that he finally let out the bag that has been floating around for a few years is having a team over in London and then playing every more international games.
Yeah, right. Definitely mentioned more international games.
There will for sure be more international games, but I think within the next 10 years, and a lot of this has to be negotiated by the NFLPA, because the only other time, I think it's 10 years. What are we, year three, year four into
the new
CBA? Yeah. So let's just say it goes to 20. We've got about 6 years. So if the NFL wants to add another game, the Players Association would have to agree to it.
Right.
Before they break out of the deal. I mean, because you're talking about 6 years, the NFL likes their positioning right now with how the growth of the league and the control that they have. But if they want to add that extra game before this current CBA goes out, then they would have to negotiate with the players on something. And the question becomes, from the players' standpoint, what do you want? what would the players want to add that extra game?
I saw mentioned, obviously, they're going to go down to two preseason games, but they're going to want
more
than that.
Yeah, but I want more than that.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I mean,
I want more than that.
So the question becomes, you can always talk about expanding the number of percentage of revenue. Maybe you want another half a point. Maybe you want a full point for that. And the other part of it, from a training aspect, I don't know how much you can add to that. You know, because, like, if you remember what Coach Allen was telling us, the first week, you know, they have different phases already as far as the off season.
Right.
They already have limited contact throughout the season on how many padded practice they can have. And the NFL has agreed already. The other thing, which I think is really good, one of the rules that they put in during the COVID years was having the expanded practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah.
The expanded practice squad. And so if I'm the NFL players, and I'm not, of course, not part of the active group that would be in that negotiating room, I would want to expand the roster, not just the practice squad roster. I would want to expand the roster and then even bump up the inactives maybe a little bit more. So now instead of having 47.
My thing is, why do they have inactives anyway?
Why?
Why?
Well, they figure it's a competitive disadvantage, and then it goes back to the money.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Deuce, I could have figured that money part out.
It goes back to the money. I mean, because some guys, as me and you, all of us know, if I'm not active this week, my salary may be a little bit different.
It's going to be different. It's going to be lower. I figured that out, and I'm not even in the negotiations.
Thank you. I mean, and so that's a part of it. But if I'm the players, that's the first thing that I want them to do is expand the overall roster and then limit the inactives, you know, to where, hey, look, you got the QB this year. What was it? The third quarterback.
Emergency
quarterback. Now that situation where it happened with us in Denver doesn't happen again, or even San Francisco in the championship game doesn't happen to them again. And then the other thing, I don't know if you guys saw it, was the approval of the Guardian.
I was going to ask you about
the caps. Yeah, the Guardian caps.
That's going to be a really strange look on the field.
It's some strange stuff already going on. But, hey, here's
the thing. Would you have a problem wearing it?
No, but that's what I was about to say. If the data shows that using that equipment helps, then do it.
I'm putting it on.
Do it. There's not a question. If the data shows that limits some of the head issues that the players suffer, you got to use it.
Yeah.
Now I hadn't seen the data. I don't know what the data is, and we know that they use a ton of it. Whether you're scrimmaging, whether you're just in thuds, there's data that they're always collecting, and we're not even talking about games. We're just talking about in practice. So if the data shows that it is helping to limit some of the head injuries that they are capable of having, then use it.
All right, I have two questions.
Yep.
The first question is, do you think that the Players Association will be able to use the new kickoff rule, assuming as it stays the same, as an avenue to increase the roster? Because you are basically creating
– They've already approved it.
Yeah.
The owners already approved it. So from the player's standpoint, there's nothing that they can do.
It's already approved.
Right. Well, it's a one-year deal. I'm just saying I didn't know if the – You know, if there's anything they can do to say, look, that's the team, not the players. We need another guy because you've created a rule that creates another guy.
From a player's perspective, there's really nothing that they could do on that standpoint. They're calling it a safety issue, which it probably is when you talk about the kickoff being one of the most dangerous games.
Instead of one guy back, you got two guys back there.
Well, you got two guys back, but remember early on, it was the first elimination was the three-man wedge.
Right.
And so the wedge got taken away, and now they're moving guys up closer. It used to be you could have as many guys on each side of the numbers. Now it's limited on how many guys you can have on outside of the numbers. Then it went from I could get a head start of 7 yards, 10 yards. Now you get one step, two steps. And so they're lessening the distance, the speed that guys can kind of create, and they're taking it out to where There can only be a double team in, at certain points. There can only be no blindside blocks, no low blocks. So they're trying to eliminate a lot of that stuff where kickoffs, you know, particularly that's where a lot of your head injuries does occur.
Guys, one of the things, talking to Carl Johnson, who was at one time head of NFL officiating. Now he's one of the full-time officials in the NFL. He gave up the job in New York. He's back on the bayou now. And one of the things Carl told me, Mike, you would not believe the film of these kickoffs and the violent collisions that happen in the rundown. That's why to save the kickoff, they had to do something.
Well, they don't want to eliminate it. I mean, because that was the only other thing, elimination of it.
They basically did. It was 2,000 dead plays, 2,000 touchbacks, 13 in the Super Bowl.
Well, but here's the thing. Remember, you already moved the kicker back further.
Yeah.
You know, you moved him back further. Well, now they've gotten good enough where they can still kick it out of the end zone. So it's almost like it's a boring play. Okay, how can we make this more exciting? And that this is what they've come up with.
All right. My second question.
All right, Bobby, come on.
Well, I mean, this is how we started this conversation.
No, I know.
He didn't answer your question.
I know you
are.
My question was, which was how we started, how does anything you just talked about, which is brilliant, help us possibly get the draft? That's where we started.
Oh, in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Because the dates being changed?
The dates, it's going to be – it gets
even
pushed back.
Even 2 weeks with Jazz Fest, two
yeah,
weeks?
Yeah, it would get pushed back.
Okay.
It would get pushed back. I mean, because here's the thing that the NFL wants to do, and they're already kind of doing it in a sense. The NFL wants to dominate the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
They want to dominate the calendar.
They're almost there.
and that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, you look at how they're bullying the NBA and college football on Christmas Day. Christmas falls on a Wednesday this year.
And you got two games.
The NFL will have games on Christmas, on a Wednesday. So the recovery, if you play that Sunday, and of course the schedules aren't out,
yeah.
I don't know how you can have a team to play that Sunday.
Well, they're
going to
play the Saturday. They're going to schedule them Saturday, and then they play the Wednesday.
Well, that would be the only way.
That's it.
That would be the only way, or they're off.
Thursday to Wednesday.
The Thursday, the week before they play that Thursday,
right.
They turn around and play
that
Wednesday.
Then you got to almost do something like that with the other team, too.
Well, I mean, but there's going to be four teams. There are going to be four teams because there's two games already.
Right. So now you're doing some major juggling now.
Well, remember, and they made the tweak, I guess it was last year or 2 years ago. But anyway, all games after Thanksgiving, they can change and shift.
With very little notice.
Well, and it's supposed to be they're supposed to give you a month, but you know that
no not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean, they're messing over the fans. That's who get that's who gets the raw end of this deal because it was our game. Remember out in L.A. that we didn't know
the Thursday game
if it was going to get changed.
December 20th, they thought might change it.
They might change it, and so I mean, it's literally. Probably a month out, and they still hadn't made a decision of not whether they were going to change it, and they left it where it was. But, I mean, if you're a fan and you've got tickets now, you've got to go change hotels. You've got to go change travel just because the NFL decided, hey, we don't want this game to be on Thursday. We're going to make it a Sunday game.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not going to help you out. We're going to make it Sunday night. So you have to stay if you're going to go to that game.
TV is king.
Yeah. I can't argue.
That was the argument is that the NFL had took a lot of heat. Is that what about the fans? What about these people who are spending all this money for tickets? And I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying this is what
you're just telling the truth.
It's the reality.
Was you're telling the
of
truth.
The time is that, well, wait a minute. I bought these tickets 4 months ago for me and my kid to go to Disneyland and watch the Saints play on Thursday. So, I mean, it's a valid argument, but guess what? TV is king.
Looks like the last pick of round two is coming up, guys. Recapping
are we still
some,
on the draft?
Yeah, recut some of the picks that went by that we didn't get to. Cornerback out of Missouri, Enos Rakestraw went to the Detroit Lions. Washington offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten going to the Baltimore Ravens. The Chiefs traded up to get Kingsley Sumatea from BYU, another offensive tackle.
Yeah. Somebody from he was at Oregon. And I think him and the offensive line coach they didn't get along well.
Yeah.
He goes to BYU. Man, just think, man, Bo Nix must have been pretty upset when he took off. Man, that guy can play. He's a little rough around the edges. But you talked about Enos Rakestraw. Had he not had the knee injury, and it was a major one, but he really played well last year for Missouri, like Kool-Aid, it dropped him out of first round.
Well, here's a guy that he's a Gulf Coast kid as
sure
well.
Sure is.
Well, no, I'm talking about his teammate, Abram Drain is a really good corner as well from Missouri. He started out as a receiver.
Yeah.
He started out as a receiver at Missouri, and I called a couple of his games as well as Enos's, and he's a really good player as well. And so, you know, I expect both of those guys to be able to show up. And here's the interesting thing about Detroit, though.
Aaron Glenn must be happy tonight.
There you go.
Two corners.
He's got two corners, and then they traded. That's where the Tampa corner.
Carlton Davis.
Yeah, Carlton Davis ended up going. So they will have – a new back end on that secondary. I think Branch will be the only guy that returns, but everybody else will probably be new in that secondary for the Detroit Lions.
Curious what you guys think here. ESPN's Matt Miller's pro comp for Enos Rakestraw. He has him as comparable to Tre'Davious White.
No, Tre'Davious was a better player than Enos.
He's probably got better ball skills.
Physically, they look about the same. Size-wise, I get that part if he's talking about how they build.
Just the way they look.
Wingspan, that sort of thing. Man, Trey was good. Man, before those knee injury and then the Achilles injury, man, Trey was – he was really something.
Looking at the pick in this draft, I think it is in for the San Francisco 49ers. It is another cornerback from Florida State. Coming off the board here is Renardo Green to end the second round.
And now the Jets.
And Carolina traded out.
To the Jets.
First round of the third pick that they traded out of that spot. So the Jets took it, and the pick is already in.
Man, Carolina doesn't like picking first in a round, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. They jumped up out of the second into the first late yesterday.
Well, we're going to take a pause on our Draft Fest coverage here at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Why don't you stop by, say hi to Team WWL out here. We are going till 11 o'clock. The Saints don't have a pick yet, hoping they end up trading back in the round, but we'll be breaking down everything. Want to hear from you as well, so stop by right here on WWL. Be right back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, indeed. Back into our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. The second round is a wrap. The third one getting underway in Detroit, which, as we mentioned, has been packed and amazing to see, guys. But wide receiver from Western Kentucky, Malachi Corley, coming off the board, going to the J-E-T-S Jets.
I guess the quarterback said, man, get me another receiver. I mean, they got a bunch of them to begin with. Malachi Corley is a really intriguing player. I thought he'd be a late second, early third. He's not the fastest guy around, but boy, he catches the ball well. They used him on a lot of bubble wide receiver screens and stuff like that. Man, he's a tough guy. He's built like a running back, though. He's not built like a receiver.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's probably shy of 6 feet. Leonard Davis announcing. Me and Leonard came out, and he was
Leonard was a big man, wasn't he? Still is.
Still is. Big man. Played down there at Texas, UT. Guy, but Malachi, that's what I was about to say, Mike. He's not very big. He's
5'10 and a half,
right there at 5'10 and a half.
Running back.
I'm sorry. Well, Trey Benson, he's a Mississippi kid.
Yep.
Played down there at Florida State, Trey Benson. And he thought, how about this? He thought, from talking to people in Mississippi, he thought that he would go to Dallas. He thought Dallas would get him in the second round, but Trey goes to, and Trey was coached by a Louisiana guy, New Orleans kid, Coach Johnson.
Yep.
Coach Johnson is who coached Trey, and a Mississippi kid. He and Dylan Johnson, an Oregon tailback, were on the same high school team.
They didn't lose too many games.
Not at all. Not at all.
Football's
when you got,
there,
when you got that type of talent. But
Dylan started at Mississippi State.
At Mississippi State, and then he transferred. Dylan started at Mississippi State, and then he transferred. But just going back to Malachi, his head coach was the brother. His brother was at SC, Mike, and their dad was a football coach forever. and it's going to kill me because I can't think of his name, but he talked about Malachi. Helton.
Yeah, Clay Helton.
Clay. Yeah. Clay Helton. I had a chance to call one of his games. I think it was Auburn, where I called their game a couple years ago, and they just wanted to get the ball in his hands. And I'm intrigued to see how they use him with the Jets, just because, you know, they've missed on some guys. They tried to bring some guys in that Aaron wanted, and some of those guys hadn't worked out. And, you know, you've got, Wilson up there, who is a heck of a receiver.
A really good player.
Who's a heck of a receiver. But, you know, to be able to get some more weapons offensively, I'll be intrigued to see how they kind of use him.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more coverage. Going to get a little more inside on the Saints' newest draft pick. We'll be right back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage right after this. Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller along with Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, and Mike Haas, our wall-to-wall coverage of the Saints and the NFL Draft. Just come join us at the Hooters on Betts in Metairie for some beer, some wings, also $5 margaritas. Well, the Saints today added another corner in round two of the NFL Draft, picking up Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Happy to welcome in now our guest from the game in Alabama with Ryan Fowler. Ryan, how you been, man?
Man, I'm doing great. It's good to be on with you guys. And it's always good when you can, you know, Nick Saban always used to say, don't ever force me to lie about you. So it's always good when you guys can call me and I can talk about a player that I don't have to tell you a lie about. I can tell you, you know, how Kool-Aid McKinstry is. I'm looking forward to kind of welcome him to the city. And, you know, we love it when, because we have a lot of Saints fans up in Tuscaloosa when we've got, you know, one of the local guys that's, you know, 4 hours away down in New Orleans. So happy to be on with you guys.
Ryan, kind of tell us, Kool-Aid, he was a five-star recruit, heavily recruited from the Birmingham area. And it didn't take him long to make that adjustment to the SEC. And he's basically been a three-year starter for the Crimson Tide there. And man, I think before the season started, a lot of people felt he would be the first corner off the board. And he didn't maybe have as big a season as maybe we thought. And then the injury later on and some surgery. And I think that's most likely what kept him out of round one.
Well, and see, that's the value that you guys are getting. You know, when you think about Kool-Aid McKinstry going to where you guys were able to get him at there in round number two, that's a first-round value. And I think if his injury, you know, with the foot and, you know, not able to do some things on the 40-yard dash or maybe not run the speed that he wanted to run, I think that's the value that New Orleans is getting. I mean, you're getting a guy that, you know, because of those quarterbacks, Mike, you know better than I do, but the quarterbacks kind of pushed everything down. But I think it was somewhat of the injury. I think Kool-Aid's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be a, you know, a locker room guy. And also keep in mind, he's had Nick Saban to coach him to play the technique. And I'm not sure if you heard the review when Coach Saban was talking about, you know, Kool-Aid, the physicality of him. He's a guy that, you know, can come up and really, you know, be a just a, you know, a single tackle, right? He doesn't have to have a lot of help. But you have to understand he was coached by Nick Saban. But let me take you back to high school. You mentioned his five-star status coming out of Pinson. He was coached by Sam Shade. And Sam played on that 1992 national championship team back in New Orleans when Alabama beat Miami. So he was coached by a defensive back, and then he went to, you know, Tuscaloosa. He played for Nick Saban, and I promise you, I've been to so many Alabama practices. Nick Saban cares so much about the way those defensive backs play because that's his unit. I mean, he's hands-on. I mean, you can't find him with the quarterbacks, running backs. He's always with the defensive backs. And he coaches those guys up to a level that it's just fun to hear him. Now he's physical and he makes them play practice as hard as they play. But Kool-Aid is just a guy that is fun to get to know, high energy, great personality. Like I said, it's fun when I can go on a radio show and tell you the value of for one football player, but also a human being, and that's Kool-Aid. I mean, he is a guy, and he can also give you punt return, you know, if you need it. He's a guy that kind of got in a little bit of a slump, and I'm not going to be unfair to him, but you know, it just almost got in a little bit of a slump with fielding the punts. And it wasn't that he was fumbling the punts or he wasn't that he was it was just really fielding the punt. And it's almost like it got to his head a little bit. It became more of a mental side of things. But I think he could be that type of guy. He was that guy for Alabama for last year in 2022 and did it for most of the year in 2023. They made a substitution. I don't know if that was because of maybe something else, but I think he can give you, you know, a lot of options. He's a guy that can play play the run, play the pass. You can put him in a couple different areas, but just a leader on that football field. You can build that locker room around Kool-Aid and McKinstry.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, you know, being able to play inside or even, you know, you talk about the Saints using a nickel, whether it's the big nickel or cornerback. Does he have those type of skills as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think when you're on that field for Nick Saban, and, you know, I think about the leadership, because Alabama, you know, I've said this so many times, and people think I'm taking shots at Alabama. That was not a good Alabama. And I know it's a different standard in Tuscaloosa. I get that. But that was not a great football team. But it was guys like Kool-Aid and Terry and Arnold and Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell, you know, this nucleus of players that kind of kept that locker room together. Because, listen, it could have all crashed and burned after Texas. You know, the criticism that these young men receive, you know, you've all read the T-shirts and the L-A-N-K link and let all the naysayers know. They've kind of taken that to the NFL. And I'm sure, you know, I keep seeing them throw up these L signs that's what it is. But Kool-Aid is just he's a physical corner. Now, listen, he towards the end of the season, and I don't know if this injury was kind of bothered him and maybe they had to get it fixed. I don't know exactly. They don't give us a lot of medical details. Nick Saban's not one of those, you know, that's required like the NFL. But I wonder if something was bothering him, because there was a couple of moments that he just didn't look like Kool-Aid that we had got accustomed to playing. But able to rebound, just a guy, like I said, he could play, you know, he could play in that slot. He could play on the outside. I mean, just a guy that's very versatile, but the knowledge that he's got, that's where he's going to excel, because it's like, you know, Ozzie Newsome told me so many different times. I said, why do you draft all these Alabama guys? He said, it's very simple. He said, I get a lot of young men that have a bachelor's degree in football. Every now and then I get a couple of guys that have got a master's in football. He said, every player that I've ever taken from Alabama, I don't have to teach them about the basics of football. I call it a PhD in football. He said that on my show. He said, that's what you get when you get an Alabama player. And really from the defensive standpoint, I mean, Nick Saban just puts a lot of pressure on these guys. So these guys are pro ready. You know, many times you could criticize how much more of ceiling do they have? Have they reached that maximum ceiling because they coach so hard in Tuscaloosa? But this young man is just, he's fun to be a part of. And from a media perspective, you guys are going to love him because he's a quote guy. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, is a good soundbite, but it's usually a soundbite after a great play. You're asking about, hey, that moment in a certain game. And he's a guy that even when things didn't go very well for Alabama, he was a guy that still came in and, you know, kind of explained, hey, I don't make any excuses. I remember talking to him out at the Rose Bowl. Didn't come up with anything. Hey, we just got beat. We just got beat. But, you know, like I said, he's a fun guy to be around, and I'll be excited to see what he does in that community down there in New Orleans.
Ryan, if you didn't think Alabama had a good team last year and they made it to the Final Four, I'd hate to see the real good team at Alabama. I get where you're coming from, but, man, but the standards are looked at a little bit different. I understand that part. And, you know, he brought up every day in meetings who was sitting with him. Nick Saban. We had him on just a few minutes ago. He said Nick was in meetings every day with the secondary. So we understand that part. And you can tell the competitiveness in him, because after the season, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers both made the comment. Who's the toughest guy you went up against this year? Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Well, Mike and I talk every week. Mike's on my show, and I'm very thankful for that. But the respect that Alabama has for LSU and LSU has for Alabama, listen, we don't respect Auburn, okay? Auburn is just kind of a, you know, kind of like a gnat that you just kind of swat away.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah. Like this Mississippi State is.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. But listen, when you play LSU, I just remember, you know, talking to Jonathan Allen, you know, what is it about LSU? What is it about Alabama? He said, well, we just don't want to let anybody out Alabama us. But, you know, it's both of those players going toe-to-toe. You know, I heard Jaden Daniels talking about Dallas Turner, saying, hey, that's the best guy that I went up against as far as the edge guy. So when you look at these Alabama guys and these LSU guys, it's fun to see how they make one another better, right, just because they're going up against. So Kool-Aid is just a I know I keep saying the same thing, but I promise you, you guys are going to tell me in a year, hey, you were right, because he's just a fun guy to cover. But the physicality, and I promise you, to play defensive back in Tuscaloosa, it's a different, you know, we talk about a standard in Tuscaloosa, but to play defensive back, Nick Saban, now listen, there's mistakes, sure, but he puts a level of expectation, because I used to go to practice when they would allow it to be open. Now, you know, Kalen DeBoer's open a little bit, so that's good, but we were closed since COVID. But you would go out there and Nick Saban would be screaming at these defensive backs. I mean, for the little bitty thing, the attention to detail, it goes back to that Ozzie Newsome quote, these guys are football ready. The PhD that they have in football, because Nick Saban makes them learn so much. It's going to be fun to watch him, you know, to make him grow. I'm excited about Terry Arnold up in Detroit, but, you know, I think the Kool-Aid value of where New Orleans got him, you guys may be laughing all the way to the bank with that one.
Ryan, the one thing, too, I don't know if you heard this, Roman Harper compared him to a guy that played – he was a quarterback first time I saw him in high school. And he came to LSU as a receiver, and they moved him to corner. Corey Webster, who had a double-digit career in the NFL at corner. That's who Roman Harper compared Kool-Aid to, Corey Webster, former LSU guy and also New York Giants.
Well, listen, Roman's a guy that you guys know all about there in Tuscaloosa. Anything he says, I'll take it to the bank. You can cash that check because Roman – I remember covering Roman here in the 2005 Alabama defense, and that was a really, really good defense. D'Amico Ryans and Freddie Roach and a ton of other defensive backs. We won't get into all those guys. But Roman, smart football player. I mean, just the way he played the game, you know, characteristics. I mean, you know, does everything jump off the paper at you? No, probably not. But look at the years that he played there in New Orleans and over in Carolina. So if he says it, you can cash that check. So – But I think Kool-Aid is one of those guys that and this is the other part in Alabama. I call it the 33rd franchise in the NFL because everything is like an NFL-type system. You know, the way that they attention to detail, nutrition, just being coached, being, you know, the competitive, as you said, the drive to be able to play at Alabama, you know, it takes a ton, just like it does at LSU, to be able to work through that competition to be able to start. But start for long-term – like Kool-Aid was, that's huge. And as you mentioned, Mike, we started this interview. He would have been the number one cornerback coming into this year. I would love to know when that injury happened because it looked like he kind of fought through that. He didn't shut it down and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit here and wait for the NFL draft. No, I'm going to keep grinding because that's what I signed up to do. And I think that's the leadership that he's going to bring to that locker room. It's going to be fun to watch him, you know, continue to develop as a player.
Ryan, was wondering if you had any fun facts or interesting stories about Kool-Aid. Obviously, we know about where his nickname came from, and I got a press release that actually the beverage Kool-Aid is coming out with a special limited edition Black Cherry Blitz in his honor, since his favorite flavor of Kool-Aid is Black Cherry. But like I said, any good factoids about him or interesting stories on Kool-Aid?
You know, I don't know I mean, other than just a Mr. Football, I mean, in the state of Alabama, that was, you know, but I mean, that's what you are when you're a five-star. But just the Sam shade, I mean, take that and Mike, I can connect you with Sam up in Pinson where he, you know, he coaches. He's a great high school football coach, but he was a heck of a defensive back. But just the amount of knowledge that has been poured into this young man from Nick Saban to Sam Shade, that's what's going to be fun to see and kind of a, you know, a legacy with kind of continuing those defensive backs. And, you know, this kind of closes out an era for Nick Saban here in Tuscaloosa. I mean, now it's you know, this draft, when it ends, then that's it, right? It's Nick Saban finishing up. And, wow, just remarkable to the NFL draft picks that he's been able to put. And really the defensive backs. I mean, go back and study those defensive backs. You know, you can go back all the way to the 2008 season, and you look at those guys still playing in the National Football League. I mean, that's preparation. That's preparing an individual not just to be a player, but to be a professional. And I think that's what you're getting with Kool-Aid.
Ryan, definitely appreciate the time you gave us last minute, man.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it, bud. Check's in the mail.
Hey, thank you, guys. See you later. Take care.
Ryan Fowler, host of Tuscaloosa's longest-running sports show, The Game on the Tide, 100.9 there. Going to take a break, step away, be right back with more of our WWL draft coverage right after this. Round three is off and running here in the NFL draft. Missed a few picks, guys. Time to catch up on some stuff. I think we left off with running back Florida State. Trey Benson ending up going in the second overall pick in the round. Then we had, let me see here. So he ended up refreshing on me, sorry. But right now on the clock is the Chicago Bears once again.
The Falcons have picked Braylon Trice, the defensive end from Washington. Man, he reminds me a lot of Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, Braylon Trice. Who's not very happy up in Cincinnati right
now.
But
he wanted to get more money.
Well, he wanted to get, yeah, and people are upset and talking about the deal that he signed. He wants a little bit more added on to that deal. Because production-wise, he's probably outplayed it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cincinnati being Cincinnati saying, not so fast, my friend.
We got a contract. Signed that in good faith, so did we.
Less than a year ago. But when he did it, he didn't really add more money when he redid that contract. And so it's popping up, kind of biting him a little bit. But
he needs to give me a call. I can get him a better agent. Because you should have got better money.
His agent is saying he's going to handle that, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Going back to Atlanta, and I know you guys talked about it earlier, a lot of the thought process for them was to get a defensive player. Get a defensive player instead of the quarterback at pick number 8, and they didn't do it. But that's what they've done with their last couple of picks. They're trying to address the lack of defensive threat that they have on that defense, whether it was the D tackle, you know, to pair with Grady, and then, you know, you look at a guy like David Onyemata, and I don't know his contract situation, but would David just be in that rotation now?
I think it'd be a three-man rotation.
It's a three-man rotation?
Because that's an area, too, that – you got to have three.
Well, you better have three.
Because, you're constantly getting kind of bounced around inside.
Double team.
And you're catching a lot of shots inside the way they do. You know, last time they had a big-time pass rush, you got to go back to John Abraham.
It was John Abraham.
Man.
Yeah, it was John Abraham.
Look.
I played against John Abraham. I mean, we're going back almost 15, 20 years ago.
Okay, Vic Beasley did it. He was a one-year wonder.
Tried to get paid.
And then after that, he shut it down.
Completely.
It didn't do anything.
And they haven't been able to fix that. And we don't want them to fix it either. But I'm intrigued as well because they're going to get hit with some type of not only financial penalty, but they're going to lose some draft picks for the tampering issue or situation that they have. With Kirk Cousins. And so
you dumb to get caught. Everybody does it.
Well,
dumb to get caught.
Yeah, I mean, normally that deal is brokered and done at the combine. That deal is normally done by the combine, but they go out and you talk publicly about how I text this guy and I met this guy and I talked to the was it the equipment guy
or equipment
talked to the equipment guy, and he talked to the medical like you know what you're talking about is illegal. And you guys are, I mean, they're publicly talking about it. I mean, and so all the other 31 teams, probably particularly Minnesota, is say, hey, you see what they're saying. And so the NFL will not have.
And the Eagles with Saquon.
Well, yeah, the Eagles with Saquon as well. I mean, because it was the head coach at Penn State, Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin comes out publicly and he says it, and it's like, wait. How is Franklin saying this?
Yeah.
And this deal hadn't even been done. Saquon is saying that, you know, he hadn't talked to anybody, and they get in trouble for that. But it's like, you know, it's going to be some picks taken from Atlanta.
Because last year when this happened, it was in January. They were kind of when the tampering happened before. This one was much later. And so the NFL kind of had a little curtain to hide behind, if you will, because some people said, this is so obvious. These picks should happen now.
This year, not next year.
2024.
This year.
Not next year. They got the eighth pick. You want to make a statement?
Take the eighth pick.
Right.
Now Atlanta would have been extremely upset if you took the eighth pick away from it. But
I would have slept okay.
You remember who got in trouble for this as well?
The Miami owner was Sean and Tom Brady.
Sean Payton and Tom Brady. Miami got in trouble for the same thing. And I think that they lost the first rounder as well. And so that's why Atlanta was probably adamant, hey, you can hit us, not this year, though. You can take the picks, but not this year.
The NFL just got a late start into the investigation.
There's nothing to investigate. Just turn on the TV.
It's too easy.
Yeah, just turn the TV on. Turn the radio on.
I am not the prosecutor.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to investigate. It's right there.
Everyone, stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. We're here at Hooters on Vets in Mary. That's 47-48 Vets. We'll be right back with more of the Saints and the NFL Draft right here on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.